Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. We've got a great show for you today, and we've got lots of events that I hope that you are going to be going to. Again, we always start our show with something uplifting, and today's is life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. And, of course, I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. I also want to remind you to download our podcast so you can take our shows anywhere and listen to them. Let's bring our first guest on, and I am so excited to announce that the Banana Festival is back on, and that is happening September 24th at 10 o'clock. And, of course, tell us a little bit more. We've got Miguel Rodriguez. Let's welcome him on. And he is a committee outreach manager. And of course, we're talking about the Banana Festival that's happening September 24th at 10 a.m. And let's welcome Miguel. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here on your show.
Thank you. And of course, tell us, we are so excited. First of all, the Banana Festival has been gone for the last 2 years, and it's actually a great event. It's all down by the ocean there. You're right on the ocean. Tell everybody a little bit about what it's going to look like, Banana Festival, this year.
Sure. We are very excited to have this great community celebration of a diverse working port. As you know, the Port of Hueneme is the top importer of bananas for the West Coast. We bring in about 5.5 billion bananas, which if you put them end-to-end, they circle the world about 13 times. So in honor of that, we're trying to bring back this amazing tropical party, which is going to include a lot of fun for the whole family. And it's definitely something or an event to be at, because we're going to have a kitty cornhole, a lot of contests, puppet shows, entertainment for the whole family, as well as an international food court with funnel cakes, banana-themed dishes, cold beer for the dads. And aside from
I like that. What about the women? Wait a minute. Only for the dads? Miguel, come on.
Well, there's gonna be a lot of a variety of drinks. Let's just say
there
that.
There you go.
For everybody. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, what about music? I know that you guys have some incredible music there this year too, right?
Yeah. So the lineup has just been released. And we have Justo Almario, who's in his Afro-Colombian jazz ensemble. And he's a legend in the Latin jazz community. And we're very honored to be able to have him. He's played with all of the great, musicians that play Latin jazz. So folks like Tito Puente Jr., folks like, Eddie Palmieri. So we're very excited to have him as our headliner. And then we also have Teresa James and the Rhythm Tramps, which is Texas blues rock, as well as a lot of live dance music. Teca Pinteriche, which is Brazilian bossa nova, which is really awesome. It's somebody that plays really melodical guitar with that smooth Brazilian sound. We also have Victor Vega and the Bomb, right, and that's for the younger crowd that is going to be doing some rockabilly. He's going to be doing some old classic rock as well as some of the new modern age hits. And then we have Ricardo Lembo and Máquina Loca, and that's for the Spanish-speaking crowd. Lots of Latin music, lots of tropical fun music, and we're looking forward to be able to have everybody come and join us and dance and go bananas with us.
I love it. Go bananas. And of course, just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. We are inviting you all back to the 12th annual Port of Waianae Banana Festival. It is back. And of course, a 2-year break due to COVID-19, the pandemic. And of course, what does this really support during this whole thing, that we haven't been able to do it before, correct?
Yeah, so when the pandemic hit, our board of directors decided that they still wanted to have the impact of the Banana Festival, which brings thousands of people together and creates opportunities for nonprofits to raise funds and be visible in the community. So they reallocated the money so that we could do food distributions and so that we could fill in the gap for other community groups and food pantries weren't reaching. So, for example, we, with the direction of our board, we were able to provide food boxes for 43,000 families in Ventura County, most of them single parents, farm worker families, and low-income families that needed a little extra push during the pandemic. As you know, it was a hard time for everybody, but thanks to the port, we were able to provide our world-class bananas plus other staples such as tortillas, chiles, and, lettuce. And
I do want to just give a big shout-out, of course, Oxnard Harbor District Board President Marianne Rooney, of course, right?
Yeah, she's
been on our show before.
She was recently recognized as the Woman of the Year by Assemblywoman Jackie Irwin, and her nonprofit Nyland Promise, as well as Santa to the Sea, continue to do a lot of great work to provide essential items such as school supplies for low-income kids and internet access, also for folks that are disconnected from the grid out in the Nyland Acres community. So a lot of great work being done by our board president, Marianne Rooney.
Oh, that's great. She does a great job, too. So let me ask you, okay, of course, this is happening Saturday, September 24th at the Port of Waianae, Sunkissed Lot, corner of Market and Surfside Drive in Waianae. And all ages are welcome, right? And entrance is free. So we want to make sure that everybody comes. Also, you guys provide a shuttle service from both Waianae Beach parking lots, and parking is also free. So, I mean, everybody's welcome, correct?
That is correct, and we look forward to having everybody. The most important thing in all of this is that we are committed to maintaining this as a free festival so that everybody in our community can come and join in this great tropical party. And so that nobody is left out or turned back because of lack of funds.
I love that. What a great thing. And, of course, bring your kids, bring your family. And if you
bring
can't
your
walk,
grandma.
Bring your grandma. Exactly. I love it. And, of course, again, so much for joining us here. And, again, how do our listeners find out more about this? What is the website?
Yeah, so our website is www.bananaportfest.com, and they can also follow us on Facebook at Banana Port Fest, as well as I believe we have Instagram, and it's the same, bananaportfest.com as well. So yeah, they can also look for us on LinkedIn and all the other media channels, social media channels.
And Miguel, are we allowed to go to the ports? I know in the past we've been able to do that before. Is that something we'll be able to do again?
Yeah, so one of the great things about this particular festival is that we're able to do land tours and waterside boat tours so that people that don't ordinarily have access to the port because they don't have a transportation worker ID card can come and see what our operations and our harbor looks like and so that they can see the port again, right? There's some people that used to be able to walk into the port and, trade with the fishermen. And because of new TSA and Department of Homeland Security regulations, they're unable to do that. So this is a way for us to reconnect the community to what is traditionally something that they used to be able to partake in. So we're very excited to have people come out and take these tours for free.
Oh, another thing for free. I love it. So many great things. And, of course, again, you are all invited to the Banana Festival. That's happening September 24th, Saturday, 10 a.m. Please come out there and support Port Hueneme. And, of course, all the events and people that it really helps is just amazing. Again, Miguel Rodriguez, thank you so much for joining us here. Truly the brighter side of life. And, of course, you are an outreach manager. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Kim, for having me. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the festival on September 24th. And on behalf of the 20,000 people that are employed by the port, we will be very happy to host you on that day.
There you go. I can't wait. And again, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day today. Our next guest is Ramit Sethi, and I am really excited to, and it's Sethi, I apologize, to have you on. I've been reading your book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. It's this amazing journal, and there's no complicated math, no more procrastinating, and it's all about designing your rich life for today. And Ramit, are you there?
I am.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started, and just share who you are, some of your amazing tips, and especially in a time right now where we need it, right?
I know. You know, it's funny. I've been writing about money for over 20 years, and I think there are some people who want to pick up a thick book and read about Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. There are a lot of people who have done that with my other book, but I realize some of us just want an easy way to start dreaming about how we can use our money again. And that's exactly why I created this journal.
I love it. What is your other book, your first one?
It's called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And the reason I wrote that was that I had grown up learning about money, and I realized when I was in college that most of my friends, nobody teaches you money in this country. And so when I would try to help them with free classes, and nobody really wants to go to events when it comes to money because money is shameful. And the older you get, the more ashamed we are that somebody didn't teach us this. And so I wrote a book and I started doing a blog, and that was great. That really helps people. But there's two categories of people who would want to read a journal about money. And you can imagine picking up your favorite cup of coffee, your favorite pen, and giving yourself 15 minutes to really sketch out what your rich life is. For some people, it's people who have not started with money at all, and they just want a way to dream. And for other people, it's people who have saved and invested, and they go, okay, I've done it all. What now? When do I actually get to enjoy my money? That's what they can use the journal for.
I love that. You know, it's so funny. You're absolutely right. We journal about being happy, but what brings happiness? Money. Okay? It's kind of hand in hand, right? I mean, and
it's
not
kind of controversial to say that.
I know. It is. When I say that, I think, well, gosh, you're so monetized, right? I mean, but no, it does bring money. Long as you, I mean, the gift of giving back. Oh my God, who wouldn't that make anybody happy? So this is really about planning your life, correct?
It's absolutely correct. And I love that you said giving back. So one of the examples that I give in the journal is, how do you want to use your money to be more generous? And all of us have this idea like, yeah, of course I want to be generous. I'm a generous person. Okay, let's put it down on paper. So here are some exercises that might prompt you to be more generous. For example, whenever I go out to eat, I'm going to tip a minimum of 25%. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, maybe that's right for you, or maybe anytime your friend does a fundraiser, you're going to contribute the absolute max that you can. That's another way to be generous. But there's so many ways to be generous. There's so many ways to use our money in meaningful ways. But most of the time, we are living day to day. We're answering emails. We're worrying about making sure we pay our bill on time. And we never get the chance to zoom out and say, how do I want to use money to create my rich life? And I think it's time for us to do that.
Mm, I love that. I really do. I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way. Of course, we're talking with Ramit Sethi, and we're talking about I Will Teach You to Be Rich. How did you come up with that? I mean, do people really come to you and say, what do I do with my money?
Oh, yes. You would be surprised. So people are blown away that you know, people think that if they have a certain amount of money, they will feel better. This is very common. They go, if I just had $5,000 more or $50,000 in the bank or $1 million in my retirement, then finally I'll stop worrying. And I've spoken to millions of people about money. And I can tell you right now, the way you feel about money is highly uncorrelated with how much you've got in the bank. I know multimillionaires who worry about money. And so what I really focus on is the psychology of money. Sure, you need to accumulate more. You need to save and invest. I could show you how to do that. But you also need to dream and create a vision for how you want to use your money.
I love that. You know, it just kind of makes me think of like, okay, if my house is decorated, I'll start entertaining. If I lose weight, I'll start wearing these clothes. That is the human nature. And so it's like, if I was rich, I would be doing this. We are rich. We all have every capability of being who we want. But to actually journal about it, put it out there to the universe, you will start seeing your life change. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. It's not about waiting for someday. It's about creating that rich life today and living an even richer life tomorrow. And you can do it. You don't have to be a multimillionaire to live a rich life. Anybody can. And the important concept here is that your rich life is yours. Your rich life might be buying a beautiful coat. It might be picking up your kids from school every afternoon. You decide what your rich life is, and then you use your money to live it.
I love that. I love that. So let me ask you, in this book, you kind of get to the root of their money, because I think it's like an inheritance, okay, of like what we were taught, you know, like money doesn't grow on trees and, you know, and you need to work hard for your money. You hear all those sayings, that kind of thing. And yet some people you go, oh my God, I know she doesn't make a lot of money. How does she dress like that? Because she has made her own wealth for who she is, correct?
Yeah, we do have beliefs that come from our childhood about money. And unless we really question them, we often pass them on to our own children. So I love the quotes you said, money doesn't grow on trees. That's a common one. I want everyone listening to think about what you remember hearing at home growing up. Some people will hear phrases like, we don't talk about money in this family. Or money changes people, as if that's a bad thing. Of course money changes people. It's supposed to. It's made me more adventurous and generous. Money can change you, yes, in a positive way. If we don't actually interrogate these questions and really ask ourselves, wow, what did my parents teach me? Why? What do I want to treasure from their lessons? And what lessons do I want to change? If we don't do that, we'll just blindly pass along the same lessons we learned and pass it on to the next generation.
100%. You know, it's funny. I was taught it's lonely at the top. And I was telling my son one day, okay, and I was like, you know, I just want you to know this is so successful. You're doing such a great job, but I want you to know it's lonely at the top. And he looked at me like, really, Mom? What? And I said, yeah, but it actually doesn't have to be. And I just was like, you know what? You follow some other leaders that are doing the exact same thing and you find your tribe and it's not lonely at the top. And he was like, okay, whatever you want to say, Mom, you know? And it was like, wait a minute, you don't have to be lonely, but that's what I was taught. And I was like, no, I'm changing that because, you know, you can find your tribe.
What a great example. I love that you just kind of unconsciously repeated that line, and then it was your son who said, wait a minute, Mom, I don't know if that's true. And that's amazing. How many decades did you go through life just believing and repeating that, and then that one little comment from your son made you say, wait a second, maybe it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, that's and beautiful. It really changed it, and it's interesting. So let me ask you, in your book, you talk about identifying their money dials. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Okay. I always love to talk to people about what they love spending money on. I think too many of us are afraid of money because we think someone's going to come and tell us, you got to cut back on lattes and cut back on jeans and cut back on everything in life. I don't want to live that kind of life. So I always start by saying, what do you love spending money on? And I'm curious, in your life, what would you say you love spending money on?
I love my home to be beautiful. I love clothes. I love to spoil my children and my husband and my grandchildren now. So that's what
beautiful.
I love. And I love traveling. I love seeing the world.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a very rich, vivid set of money dials. And then the next question I ask people after they answer that first question, I say, what would it look like and feel like if you quadrupled the amount you spent? That's why it's called a money dial. It's like a dial on your stereo. You can turn it up. And most people are completely shocked. They've never thought about spending more on something they love. They've only felt guilty and thought they have to cut back. So the most common money dial is travel. The most common money dial is eating out, then travel. Health and wellness is third. Convenience is fourth, and there's a whole series of money dials that I've identified. What I love is for people to be able to dream, to be able to say, wow, I love clothes. The next step might be shopping at a different store. Maybe if I turn that money dial way up, I'm going to take my daughter and we're going to go to Italy. Who knows? You can turn it up as much as your finances afford you. But the idea here is, what if we spent extravagantly on the things we loved? And then we cut costs mercilessly on the things we don't. Wouldn't that be a beautiful way to use our money?
Wow. I love that. I mean, you know what? That's brilliant. It really is. It just simplifies it because, you know, I always say, like, I don't want to go to my deathbed with life still on the table. I don't want to go there with money on the table either, right? It's like, spend it and enjoy it. And, you know, I want to teach my children to be successful in their own way and so that I live with my money, correct?
I love your philosophy. Yes, money, we have to remember, what's the point of money? Money is not simply meant to accumulate. Yeah, it's for living our rich life. And the point of life is not to save money. Yes, of course you should save. I'm a fan of that. Of course you should invest aggressively. Yes, I'm a fan of that. But equally importantly, you should develop a vision for how you can spend your money meaningfully. And you'll notice that almost nobody talks about this because we're so concerned with focusing on how, you know, bad news in the news and how there's not enough that we have lost the ability to dream. And that's one of the reasons why people find it so hard to manage their money, because there's no point to it. They go, wait, I have to change my entire life and save for what? So I can never spend it ever again? That doesn't sound that appealing. I'm just not going to do this at all.
You know, I think, you know, you go through different traumas in your life, and sometimes you live with that old picture in your mind, you know, if you've gotten a divorce or you had to save for a trauma or whatever it is. And it's like money is for living, and it's to really share with other people so that you can – you know, it's the transportation to get what you need in life. And so I love this. It's such an awareness. It really just changes the way of thinking. How do my listeners find out more and how – I know you have a community out there also, correct?
Yes. So the first thing they can do is they can get the I Will Teach You to Be Rich journal at any bookstore, independent, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere. They can also find me, they can listen to my podcast where I interview real couples about money. These are couples who have $800,000 in debt or $13 million in net worth, and you hear them talk about the psychology of money with real numbers. They can find the I Will Teach You to Be Rich website and social media. They can just search for my name, Ramit, R-A-M-I-T.
Wow, I love that. And let me ask you one last question. Who is your mentor? How did you come up with this? What was your, you know, your idea of money?
My idea of money growing up was watching my parents, and they're immigrants, and we have a pretty big family, so I learned that you could get creative without a lot of money. Growing up even more, I went to college and I learned about psychology, and one of my mentors, was an instructor there, and he taught me how humans really behave. And that intersection of psychology and money became my life's work. And so I've been very fortunate to have a series of amazing mentors and teachers, and now hopefully I get to pass along what I've learned.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all of this here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I would love to connect with you through our socials. So thank you again. And Ramit, it was really wonderful. And of course, we're talking about his newest book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, The Journal. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life. That truly is.
Thank you, Kim.
Take care. Have a great rest of your day.
Definitely stay with us because we will be having more coming up after our next break.
It's Kim Pagano, and I want to invite you to join forces with the American Cancer Society, the nation's nonprofit leader in the breast cancer fight. Join the Making Strides movement to help save lives and fund the future of breast cancer research and programs. That's happening Saturday, October 8th, 8 to 12 p.m., Harbor Village, 1583 Spinnaker Drive. Registration starts at 8 a.m. Walk begins at 9. See you.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
Manhattan of Camarillo is an Italian-inspired restaurant located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley that offers something for everyone. The menu is made up of multi-regional classic Italian dishes with an extensive wine list. For a bit more of a casual atmosphere, come join Trivia Nights on Thursdays in the Madison Beer Garden with a full bar of craft beer selections Fridays and Saturdays. Enjoy live music with local talent, and be sure to check out the dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine banquet room holds up to 40 people, perfect for any professional or special occasion. On Wednesday nights, be sure to check out their signature three-course menu for $25. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Call Manhattan of Camarillo today to make your reservation at 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. And I'm so glad that you are joining me here today on AM 1590 KVTA. Today, we document everything about our kids, but then also we forget about ourselves. And Mary Lou Wiseman came up with this book, and it's called My Middle-Aged Baby Book. And I love it because there's so many things that we forget about our own lives. And so I'm really excited. This is a book where, you know, you write everything down that you might be forgetting soon or that you want to really pass on to your children. So let's bring Mary Lou on. She'll be able to tell us a little bit more about it. Mary Lou, are you there? And welcome.
I am here, and thank you very much, Kim, for having me on your show.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this great book.
Well, this book is the result of a comment I heard. A middle-aged friend said to me, wow, tomorrow I'm having my first root canal. And the words "my first" reminded me of the fact that my mother kept a baby book for me. Perhaps your mother did too, if she liked you enough.
Yes, and you know, it's so sad though. You know, I have four children, and each book kind of gets a little bit diminished, you know, each time. And I hate to say that because they're like, you know, did nothing happen in our lives? You know, so.
Yeah, but you got to give yourself points for your mother's exhaustion.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, four kids. The first one gets a baby book, and the second one gets comments in the margin, and the third one, it's just forget about it.
Gets teeth and hair locks.
Yeah, and that's it. But anyway, what I did was I thought about that baby book, and then I began to think, when she said my first root canal, I thought my first tooth, and then I began to see all of the things that, all of the ways in which middle age mimics babyhood. And really, I came quickly to the conclusion that middle age, like infancy, is an important developmental stage and deserved its own baby book. Thus, my middle-aged baby book. And in it, you get to record all the memorable firsts of babyhood, of middle-aged babyhood, and plus there are lots and lots of essays, because I enjoy writing essays. So there are essays as well on amusing essays on a variety of subjects.
You know, Mary Lou, I just have to say, I think you nailed it. I really do. I'm really excited to go through this. I want to tell everybody a little bit, and if anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Mary Lou Wiseman. We're talking about her book, My Middle-Aged Baby Book. And, you know, there's things in here, you know, where you start off with my first gray hair, you know, and I mean, we can even go back further. My first credit card. There's things that, you know, and then you kind of like how life starts to regress, I guess I would say. My first tooth I lost, right? My first colonoscopy, my first, you know, and so I just, you know, you're right. Those are things that we really, you know, I and my mom, love her dearly. She's a beautiful woman, and she says as you get older, you know, your looks start to go. And I said, that just means you have more beauty on the inside, you know. And, you know, so this is just something right there is,
We have to honor our journey and evolve with our life. And
yes, this book makes it a lot easier to put up with the difficulties and challenges of middle age.
Right.
Because it makes fun of them. And, you know, they are true. It is true that you have periodontal problems, which is why the book, if you may have noticed, is padded so that you can teeth on it. it is true that the way babies love their bath, middle-agers love to splash about in their jacuzzis. I've got a little essay called Am I a Girl or a Boy? And the way to tell is if you're a boy, you've got prostate troubles, and if you're a girl, you've got hot flashes. And when you get done reading that essay about how women are forever flinging open windows and leaping into their own refrigerators, and men are always sitting on the last seat on the aisle in the movies so that they can
go to
the bathroom. And, you know, it makes these challenges a lot easier to put up with if you can laugh at them. You've always got a choice. And humor only deals with what's true.
Now, you know, I'm looking at one of your chapters in here, I Dress Myself, okay?
Yes.
Where, you know, switches from jockeys to boxers, okay? And, you know, wear shirt out. And it's kind of, you know, and I don't know if you have it in here for women where you start, you know, I always wore really high shoes, and now I went from high shoes to comfortable shoes. You know?
Yeah, well, there's that particular part of the book is divided, you know, for men or for women, and there's also a divided for men and women is a page called "See How I've Grown," which is typical of babies, right? But it's also typical of middle-aged people. Like, and then there's right next to it is another page called "See What I've Grown," because remarkably, middle-aged people start growing very odd things, some of which need to be removed with a tweezer.
I know where you're going with this. Mary Lou, I'm a hair therapist, and you know, again, I deal with people that are like, my hair is not the same as it, you know, okay, well, let's enhance it, you know, and I think life is just one big enhancement.
Yes, and middle age is the proving ground, isn't it?
Yes.
Middle age is where you get the inspiration born of necessity to start paying attention and seeing what you can do about it.
Exactly.
And we have a lot of that in this book. Lots of.
You know, now, do you have something that inspired you to write this book? I mean, I see that you're a journalist and that you have other books, Intensive Care, A Family Love Story, Traveling While Married, and what is it, Al Jaffe?
Al Jaffe's Mad Life. That was a biography of a Mad Magazine cartoonist.
Ah, okay. And so what inspired you to write this book?
This particular book just came from a comment that a friend made, a middle-aged friend said, oh, gee, I have my first root canal, and the words "my first" brought me back to the baby book my mother kept for me, that in which she recorded my memorable firsts, and it began to occur to me that middle age had its own memorable firsts, and you know, the pot bellies, babies wear pastel-colored rompers. Middle-aged baby wears pastel rompers, too, but we call them sweats, or we call them workout clothes.
I love it. I love it. And for anybody that's just joining us right now, this is really great. We're talking with Mary Lou Wiseman, and her book is My Middle-Aged Baby Book. If you didn't have a baby book when you were a baby, guess what? You can do it now.
You can fill this one out yourself so you can have it read just the way you want it.
Exactly. I just love it. And as we go through here, see how I've grown. you know, see what I've grown, okay? And that's what you were talking about. Chin hair, right? Eye flap, nice, okay? Knee flap, yeah, your whole body starts to change, right? Now, what about my imaginary friend? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it isn't so weird anymore, but when people started wearing, you know, earbuds and talking out loud like the village crazy person.
Yes. I used to be in the grocery store, and if they were talking, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you're saying. They'd look at me like crazy, right?
Yeah, and you know how babies have imaginary friends, and so I thought, well, my goodness, middle-aged people also have imaginary friends. I mean, and so there's a picture of a woman gesturing wildly, walking down the street, talking to nobody, you know, apparently.
Right.
And I thought that was worth noticing.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, Mary Lou. Of all the topics in your books, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting? Which is the one that people relate the most to?
Well, I think they're all lovable because I wrote the book, so what else could I possibly think? But I think the one that really catches, I think it may be the hallmark of one of the firsts of middle age is forgetting. So I've written an essay called I Forget. And I don't know if you know this, Kim, but after the age of 30, the brain loses thousands of neurons every day, every hour even, of their, you know, brain cells,
right,
to put it bluntly.
Okay.
And these are the nerve cells that tend to take the car keys with them and leave important things behind, like the words and music to the Mickey Mouse Club theme song. This thing we call forgetting is really neuron loss, and there is nothing you can do about it. It doesn't help to wear a hat. They'll escape just the same. So, and in this essay, I suggest that there are two kinds of forgetting. One is losing one's train of thought.
I call that ADD at 50, correct? Which
right.
I see you
yeah,
have
you just, start a sentence, you maybe get to the noun, and you almost get to the verb, and suddenly you have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, and they call that a senior moment?
That's a senior moment, but it's also, this begins to strike at around 40.
Okay.
And then there's another basic kind of forgetting, which is losing the passengers on one's train of thought, which means that you forget the names. So it's really, this is the hardest thing to contend with, and people worry a great deal about forgetting. But once they've read this essay, they're going to just think it's a lot of fun.
And is that essay in this book?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, I'm so glad that you are here, and we start your day in a positive way on the Kim Pagano Show, and we are talking with Mary Lou Wiseman. We're talking about this book, My Middle-Aged Baby Book. Where do we find it?
You can find it everywhere. It's at Amazon. It's Barnes & Noble. It's in all your independent bookstores. It's very easy to come by. It's doing very well already.
I can't imagine why.
I think I know what's going on here. Is that it's turning out. This I hadn't thought about this, but it's turning out to be the perfect gift book for a middle-aged baby birthday party.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, I'm serious. I have a couple friends that, you know, this is perfect. It's really, it's like a time, I mean, something that they can kind of write in, and I think it can follow them all the way through the rest of their life, and they can also give it, you know, hand it down to their children. I just want to comment really quick on your last page, Living Will, of Tell us about that. That is, I love everything that you did in this book.
Thank you. Well, the only way I can tell you about The Living Will, which is the last page of the book, is to read it to you because it's very short.
Okay.
If the time comes when I am incapacitated to the point that I can no longer actively take part in decisions for my own life and am unable to direct my physician as to my medical care, I wish this document to stand as a statement of my wishes. Should it be determined that I am in an irreversible, persistent, vegetative state, plant me.
I love it. With that, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, this is a great gift for anybody's birthday and your parents. I mean, I really do love it, and I can't wait to share this with everyone. Again, Mary Lou Wiseman, her book, My Middle-Aged Baby Book. Mary Lou, thank you so much. Leave us with one thought.
One thought. Have fun. Laugh out loud. It's been reduced these days to LOL. But you'll laugh out loud on every page. That's what I meant to do. I meant to give a gift to middle-agers that would be fun and would cheer them on, because I'm not sure a book on old age is going to be quite as much fun.
I love it. I love what you're doing, and keep sharing.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much, Mary Lou Wiseman. Definitely stay with us, because we will be having more coming up after our next break.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Join Susan G. Komen, 8th Annual Breast Cancer Conference, live streaming daily throughout October's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Call 310-575-3011 to learn more.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Well, I am really excited, as always, to share Verizon Small Business Days. And, of course, joining us is Dave Hickey. And, Dave, you are Verizon's VP. So thank you so much for taking some time out to be with us. And tell us a little bit about small business and, of course, Small Business Days this September. And, you know, I think of all times in our whole history, this is where we really need more help than ever. So I'm excited to talk with you and to kind of find out some of the strategies that small business and medium-sized business can use.
Yeah. No, Kim, thanks for having me, first of all. I'm excited. And we just released this new survey to go along with our SMB days and some interesting insights and facts that came out of that. And I'll kind of, maybe I can hit just a couple of those and then we can go from there. It's the small business owners are really concerned regarding the economy and how the downturn can kind of hinder their business. So that's not really a surprise. I think that's probably on the top of everyone's mind. But chief among these concerns is inflation. And so nearly 4 in 5 of our respondents to our survey said that their business has experienced kind of increased costs in the past year. Those conditions have also caused more than half to say that their sales are also declining. And then a third of those respondents withdrew cash from their reserves as well, which is not a good sign. I'd say the optimism in the survey was there as well, which is that they remain really upbeat. More than half expect their business to do better next year than this year. And when we did the previous survey, they said that this year would be better than last year, and the results have shown that as well.
Wow. So at least we're going up, right?
But yeah, here's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. So many people are shopping online still. And so I think that it's really smart that small business and medium businesses really take that direction, correct? And would you agree with me on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They, yeah. And we saw that really in the survey, too. They really talked about kind of moving towards that digital environment that allowed them, you know, to really focus on how they talk and work with their customers as well. And I think that's a big deal for all of us. Think about how we have changed our own spending habits and how we correspond and work with our customers today. So definitely a big deal of how they're working and adding additional technology to meet the customer needs and drive really new customers into their environment as well to learn how to take care of their base.
Right. And of course, you know, I do a lot of business coaching, and to me, it's all about that list, you know, of knowing who your customer is and making sure that you have that list that you can talk to your people. And so is that something that you share also in this survey?
Yeah, it really comes from a couple of areas. So we focused on an area like where are their challenges, but also where are they investing money into as well to help their business grow. And it was digital tools was one. That's definitely where they spent some time. The second was they're really looking at how they can advance technology to interact with their customers. And then I would say the third was where they're looking at new revenue streams. And so bringing in new products, new services, so that they can take care of the demand that's out there as well. While they do that, I think they're also making sure they adapt at the rate their customers is changing. And so they're using different forms to do that with, you know, contactless payment, to remote workstations, to collaboration, creating kind of new e-commerce opportunities. All of those things are adding up to where they're really investing time to grow.
I love that. I love that. And so does this survey provide any insight or predictions for the holidays? They're so close now. All of a sudden, it's like Labor Day's over. Now what, right? I mean, we got to get in gear. So give us a couple tips for that.
Yeah, it's pretty great walking into the stores and seeing Halloween decorations and Christmas decorations, right? They're all in there.
I think, I don't know. My husband just shared the other day that Halloween is already down. Now it's Christmas. I'm like, we didn't have Halloween yet, but, you know. So talk to us
about
that.
We move so fast. Yeah, so exactly. Here's where they're concerned. Almost half of the business owners were concerned about supply chain and really how that may impact their season of sales, especially new product lineups where they're going after. And then a third were concerned about kind of the economic hardship and inflation and what that would do to the consumers coming in to buy their products as well. And so that were the top two on their mind. Their third, which is what you see everywhere, is staffing. And so we see those signs right now, hiring. Please be patient with us as well. Can they get people in there to work with them so they can offer the services that they're so passionate about?
Right. That is a big deal. And hopefully people are going to want to work again, I'm telling you. So let me ask you this. How can technology help businesses meet their hiring needs?
Yeah, it really is. When we think about it today, it goes after how can we meet the employee where they want to be, and also how can they meet their consumer where they need to be. And so the survey talked a lot about how they're investing in resources and tools to bring that kind of remote work environment and allow the employee to work in the environment they need to be successful, but also allow that customer to get their products and services. And then all the investment in digital and really leveraging different technologies out there today, you're seeing so many of them using different things like OneTalk cloud-based phone systems that allow connectivity into employees' homes and stuff. And then the second thing you're seeing a lot of is different business internet offerings, which really, you know, is everything how you can kind of bring fiber all over the place, but really in this kind of fiber or 5G ultra wideband world. So now I can get connectivity to a house, to a business. And, you know, if you're not connected, you're really not able to serve your customer base the way they want to pay today.
And you cannot really do business. it's very clear that way that you need technology. I mean, we have turned our life around now. I don't know how we used to do it, but let me tell you, if you don't have your lines up, you're kind of not, you know, you can't reach out there. So, Dave, first of all, a pleasure to talk with you. And, of course, I just want to let everybody know again that we're talking with Dave Hickey. You are the Verizon VP. How long have you been with Verizon?
I've been with Verizon for 20 years and pretty much working in the small and medium business segment my entire career.
Wow. Well, good for you. Not very long, though, right?
That's like a lifetime.
Right there, right? Exactly.
Let me just ask you this.
We always talk about the brighter side of life here. And what is the best tip that you have that you've learned over the 20 years for small and business and mid-sized businesses?
Yeah, I would say the things we work with our customers every single day is how they stay relevant in their world. And if we can take their great idea, their great passion, their great product and service, and streamline how they do business, whether that be through communication or technology advancement in the way they touch with their customer, those are the things that we've seen customers do really well. The ones that, and we have customers from every range, meaning they have no idea what technology is, to the ones that are teaching us sometimes on the way back, hey, did you see this? And so we constantly want to share with them how we can meet them in the middle and help take whatever their business idea or platform and mainstream it for them to be able to communicate with their customers every single day.
I love it. Dave, last question. Where can my listeners go for more information?
Yeah, I love it. We are running through SMB Days. We've not only have the survey that came out, but some amazing promotions to really strengthen our small and medium business community that's running through the 14th. Everything from device discounts to business internet to survey findings, they can go to www.verizon.com/business.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we'd love to have you check back with us again and share some really great
tips. Ken.
Thank you again, Dave. Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Take care.
Again, thank you so much for tuning in to the Kim Pagano Show. We are so grateful that you spend this hour with us. And again, I always end our shows with a moment of happiness. Success is a journey, not a destination. Have a great weekend, and I hope to see you at all these great events. It might seem-